Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. Ah, yes, indeed. It is Taz the Moose with you. Mark Malus is flying solo here on this Tuesday morning because we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience as we get 2 hours down, 1 hour left to play with. We've got Mike Pete across the way, Berman with your updates. Join now, John Rothstein, College Hoops Insider for CBS Sports, joins us now. NBA Draft coming your way Thursday night. John, it's been a while. How you doing, man? How's the offseason going, all right?
All good, Moose. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. As I know you're keeping busy, you're all over the place now, John. As you know, you look at this draft... It's interesting Thursday night. Let's start here. Do you look at it, or guys, you look at it, I mean, when you evaluate the talent in this draft class, do you look at it as a drop-off after the third, after Barrett at three?
Yeah, no question, Moose. I think you have a definitive troika at the top of the board with Williamson, with Morant, with R.J. Barrett, and then there's a significant drop-off at four. There are guys who can obviously be pieces to the puzzle at the next level, but there are three guys who I think have the chops to be instant producers at the next level: Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, R.J. Barrett.
All right, John, when you look at Williamson's game, there's been many that have come out, and Seth Greenberg on ESPN, others that have come out and said they're not sure about how his game translates to the NBA. Do you have a lot of reservations when you look at Williamson, John, about what he will be as a pro?
Well, I think the big thing you need to look at, Moose, is this, is we're in a day and age right now where positionless basketball is kind of the in term. And there is nobody who defines positionless basketball more so than Zion Williamson. I think a lot of people, because he's such a cultural phenomenon with his name, with his style of game, we've taken for granted just how efficient he is. I mean, here's a player who missed six games, came back in the ACC tournament, and went 33 of 43 from the field. Here's a guy who went through a college season and shot 68% from the field. I mean, that's the scenario where somebody's making just under 7 out of every 10 shots that they take. I mean, aside from a high-percentage big man like a Shaquille O'Neal, we haven't seen that in quite some time. Now, another thing you need to look at is Duke was not a very experienced team or a very good three-point shooting team. So you know this as well as anybody. If you are a ball-dominant player, regardless of position, one thing you need to have to be more effective is to play in great space. Duke didn't have that.
No, they did not, John. And one thing about Zion, and you can speak about this better than anybody, being around the program, being around College Hoops the way that you are, is – the personality of the individual. He's got an infectious drive and love for the sport that you don't really often see, and it comes across through the television. The passion that Williamson plays with is something that draws you to him as a player.
No, there's no doubt about it. He has an infectious personality. He obviously is the type of person who can go by one name when he's mentioned, like a LeBron, like a Kobe. I mean, that's something you just can't make up. And it's ironic to me that he's going to be in a situation where, he could be with a franchise that might be somewhat off the radar, but he has the type of personality, the type of game, not just to captivate a city, but to captivate, most of the league.
Yeah, and do you think he's going to use it as motivation, the fact that Anthony Davis, didn't change his trade request, now going to be a member of the Los Angeles Lakers, even with Williamson coming? Do you think he's the type of person that's going to use that as motivation as he becomes the face of that Pelicans franchise here, John?
Yeah, I think if you have the DNA and the chemical makeup to be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft and to get to that point in life, you don't need, obviously, any motivation.
All right, let's look at Ja Morant and as the second overall pick. John, from your perspective, is there any sort of debate in terms of the second best player in this draft behind Zion? Is it Morant, or do you think you can make a case that it's R.J. Barrett?
No, there's a healthy debate. I think the one thing that we've seen resonate with the NBA is that the lead guard position is such a critical position, and it's such a place where you need to have an anchor, and you have somebody who has the chops physically, emotionally, competitively to be able to grow into that. Now, there are obviously some concerns about Ja Morant. I mean, he needs to cut down on his turnovers. He averaged over 5 a game, but Moose, in big games last year, in 4 tilts against high major competition, Ja Morant averaged 27-8-8. He is a big-time gamer. He's somebody, again, who I had watched relentlessly train at the IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida, you know, about a month ago, you know, taking care of his body with nutrition, working on his weaknesses. So he is somebody who, again, has the chops to develop in the type of lead guard that you can build a franchise around.
You know, John, if you go back a year ago, everyone would think that this Thursday night, this would be R.J. Barrett's draft. Right.
Absolutely.
And it's not right. It's the draft of Zion Williamson, as Barrett is expected to go 3rd overall to the New York Knicks. What happened here with we know about the brilliance of Williamson, but what did you see? What were the issues that you saw from Barrett and what he needs to improve on as a pro?
You know, I wouldn't say issues, Moose, is the term that I would use. I would just say that Zion Williamson did such an unbelievable job captivating a sport. You know, he drew in people from the periphery. He made Duke appointment television. I used to say that they were more of a must-see this past season than Seinfeld in its prime. But R.J. Barrett is a bona fide producer. R.J. Barrett is somebody who might have been the least talked about first-team All-American that we've seen in maybe a decade. I mean, Moose, the 6 games that Zion Williamson didn't play, he got 26-8-5. Now, there are some questions, obviously, about his ambidexterity. He's got to obviously maybe not be as so relying on the left hand and so on and so forth. And he's somebody that's going to get his shots up. I mean, last year, R.J. Barrett didn't have a single game where he took single-digit shot attempts. Cam Reddish had 12. Zion Williamson had 5.
Well, that does say a lot. So you look at Barrett, you still look at him as the same player, John, that you did a year ago. He's that caliber of pro prospect. You think the Knicks sitting there at 3rd overall is going to get, they're going to get a hell of a pro in Barrett?
Yeah, this is not a consolation prize if you're the Knicks. This is, you know, you're picking 3rd in a 3-player draft. So for once, it looks like the Knicks got a little luck.
All right, we're talking to John Rothstein, College Hoops Insider for CBS Sports. You know, John, when you look at it after 3, you said there's a significant drop-off. The guy with the least questions after 3 about where his game will and how his game will translate to the next level would be whom?
DeAndre Hunter, and, you know, talking to a lot of NBA people the last 3 or 4 days, there seems to be a general consensus that DeAndre Hunter from Virginia is the 4th known commodity in this NBA draft because of his ability to defend at multiple spots on the floor. And another thing about DeAndre Hunter, he is an evolving offensive player, 21 made threes as a redshirt freshman at Virginia. He went to 46 as a redshirt sophomore. He is somebody who can go into an NBA game right now and make an impact on the defensive end of the floor.
All right, so you think Hunter, I mean, conceivably speaking, if New Orleans holds on to that 4th overall pick, you think the best player on the board at that stage would be Hunter?
Well, I'm just giving you the reporting perspective, Moose. I'm just saying that DeAndre Hunter, from everything I've gathered, seems to be the consensus guy who's the 4th overall pick in this draft, you know, talking to NBA personnel.
Gotcha.
I'm looking at it like this. I think you got 3 guys, Moose, in this draft, and then you've got a lot of different guys who could fill voids for teams as they're trying to fill out their rotation. But, you know, after that, it's going to be really, really, I think, you know, interesting to see what transpires over time. This is the type of draft where you could have somebody who's picked, you know, 28 or 32 who's more productive down the road than somebody who's picked 12 to 13. So, you know, it's a different type of draft, and it's also a draft that presents a different dynamic than what we saw a year ago. You know, 5 out of the top 7 picks a year ago were players who stood 6'10 or bigger. Right now, there looks like only one player that has a chance to be drafted in the top 10, you know, that's 6'10 or bigger. That's Texas freshman big man Jackson Hayes.
All right. From your understanding, after Morant, best lead guard after Morant, is it Kobe White or is it Garland?
I would go Darius Garland based on, you know, what I've seen in person and what I've, you know, gathered from NBA personnel. You know, Darius Garland is like a toolbox offensively because he has so many different ways that he can, you know, make an impact on that side of the floor. He can obviously knock shots down from deep. He also has a very effective mid-range game. I went down to Nashville, Moose, to watch Darius Garland in a Vanderbilt practice before a season-ending knee injury. And I didn't think he was going to be Trae Young, but I said to myself, if there is anybody who has a chance to have a Trae Young type of impact on college basketball in the sense where he could average 18 to 20 points and 9 or 10 assists, it was Darius Garland. And Moose, I mean, he performed last year before he went down from injury, 58% from the floor, 48% from three.
Yeah, and this is getting better than that. And he's going to be a guy that's going to be a top five draft choice. Come your way Thursday night. We're talking to John Rothstein, College Hoops Insider for CBS Sports. You know, John, two prospects I want to get your thoughts on. Number one, the third Duke Blue Devil, Cam Reddish. And what was, I would probably say, a very up-and-down year for the talented freshman. And the other one, Culver, who played very, very well for Texas Tech, maybe underperformed a little bit at times in the tournament. But what do you think about Culver as a pro? What do you hear about him? And what do you hear about Cam Reddish?
Jared Culver is somebody who, again, has a great impact, ability to have an impact on a game by not demanding shots. And I think if you look at it from a coaching perspective, the number one thing you think about is shot distribution and whose hands the ball's in. Jared Culver improved as a distributor for Texas Tech. He also improved as a rebounder, very effective at obviously monitoring the glass and making an impact on the glass. He dropped in terms of his three-point percentage, Moose, went down about 30% last year from a freshman to a sophomore, but I think he has the ability to have a Caris LeVert type of impact at the next level. Now, you asked me also about Cam Reddish, the most mercurial prospect in the 2019 NBA draft is Cam Reddish. But I'll say this. After the big three, he has the fourth highest ceiling. And I've always wondered this. If you took Cam Reddish off of Duke and put him on another team where he was regularly featured and he was regularly made the alpha option, I wonder what he could have done. Again, he was a little bit inconsistent last year, but still made 89 threes. He's got the fourth highest ceiling in the NBA draft.
Fourth highest ceiling, you know, and that's fascinating when you think about it. And, you know, I've read reports that the Knicks are enamored with Cam Reddish. They would never take him third overall, but do like him as a prospect as well. So it's interesting you look at him as being the guy that could potentially, if he realizes that potential, is being the fourth best player in this draft. John, Thursday, is there a guy that's falling, a guy that's rising? Anybody that you're hearing that you think, all of a sudden, you know, 3-4 weeks ago was looking at a guy that was outside the top 15, now is going to be in the top 15, someone that we all thought was maybe going to be a lottery pick that's now dropping out of the lottery?
You know, I think it's fluid, Moose. One guy I know that is rising a bit is Georgia's Nicholas Claxton, 6'11", multi-skilled, can really handle the basketball. He is more a potential guy versus a productivity guy, but he did get better last year. But I think you've got an NBA draft that's got three guys, and you got a potpourri in the middle. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens on Thursday night, top to bottom.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, and you look at it, you know, the general thought, though, John, from your understanding and talking to scouts and everyone and talent evaluators, is that it's a three-player drop draft. After that, it's a little bit of a drop-off. I mean, but do you think there's quality players. There's guys that could potentially develop into all-stars down after that top three, right?
I mean, there's you never want to say never, obviously, on that, but I think you've got three guys at the top, and then, you know, you're looking to fill roles and starters after that. You know, I don't think, you know, you're going to this draft expecting to pick potential all-stars. There's potential with a lot of these guys, Moose, but, you know, this is one of the weaker drafts that I've covered in all my years covering the sport.
Well, that's interesting you say that, John. We'll ask you one more before we let you go. We appreciate it. And that is away from the draft and dealing with transition. What was your take on Beilein leaving Michigan? You know him well. You know that program well. You know him dating back to West Virginia. What about him taking on this challenge at this stage, going from going from college basketball, going from Michigan to the NBA? Do you think it'll work for the Cavaliers?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I think this was a lifelong interest of John Beilein to not just be an NBA coach, but just to be able to coach 24/7, 365 days a year. And one of the storylines that's more shifting towards college in terms of the NBA draft moves, but it's not getting, I think, a lot of mainstream coverage, is kids are much more interested right now about starting their professional clock versus being in a situation where they could go back to school, continue to flourish, get their degree, and enjoy their college experience. You know, Michigan had three players, Ignaz Brazdeikis, Jordan Poole, Charles Matthews, who were not necessarily projected to be locked first-round picks, but opted not to come back to school. And I think another thing you need to look at is there are people in this draft who are keeping their name in the draft who are leaving world-class institutions, you know, who are no locks to be drafted. I mean, UCLA, one of the most storied programs in, you know, college basketball, has three players, Jalen Hands, Chris Wilkes, and Moses Brown, who are not a part of an NCAA tournament team last year, who are bypassing their college careers to try and play professionally with no guarantees of being drafted. I mean, we're in a day and age right now where kids are much more interested with starting a professional clock than getting a degree and enjoying their college experience. I think that's one of the major reasons why John Beilein opted to leave Michigan and go to Cleveland.
Well, and you can understand that, John, but you could also, I mean, there's got to be some misinformation as well here. It's okay to start that professional clock, but you also want to give yourself the best chance to be having a long NBA and professional career, no?
And so you definitely do, but you're not always dealing with rational people here, Moose. And I think we're in a day and age right now with social media, with instant gratification, where people don't understand the aspects of delayed gratification of what could come down the line. I mean, the example I always use is Draymond Green. He was a freshman at Michigan State, and he averaged 3.3 rebounds and 3.3 points in just over 11 minutes a game. If he transfers, if he seeks the path of least resistance and he doesn't become what he was supposed to become under Tom Izzo, he's not the player that he is today.
Well, you're absolutely right. And also, you look at it, I mean, Draymond Green was a flat-out winner. I love the choice when the Golden State Warriors made it. And he also is a guy that understood that he needed to transform his body. John, as you know this, I mean, you look at Draymond Green at Michigan State and the extra weight that he carried as compared to now at Golden State. I mean, he looks like a different athlete. So he gets it. The problem I have is this, John. Listen, anyone can pursue their professional career. I have an issue here with all the misinformation, because I agree with you. I think that's a correct way to put it, the delayed gratification. Guys are getting bad information. There's not as much turnover in the NBA as someone leaving to believe. You know, a lot of guys that hang around for a long time, trusted veterans for a long time in the NBA, and not everyone that leaves college is going to be playing in the NBA. If you hang around long enough and play and get your game better on the college level, you give yourself a better chance, especially if you're one of these guys on the periphery.
No, I mean, look at your alma mater. You've got two guys, Tyus Battle and also O'Shea Brissett, who would be probably both borderline All-Americans next season, and they've opted to play professionally. And right now, Moose, I mean, you never want to say never, but there seems like a slim to no chance that either will be a first round pick on Thursday night. If they go back to Syracuse, they're probably having the best year of their life next season, starring for Jim Boeheim, playing in the Carrier Dome, and getting the type of seasoning that made Fred VanVleet what he was in the NBA Finals. I mean, Fred VanVleet's a perfect example. I know he wasn't drafted and he worked his way into the NBA, but the 4 years of seasoning, the ability to become a man, made him mentally tough to the point where he could obviously come in and have a major impact at the NBA level.
And his game evolved as well with it. And that toughness that he had coming out of that Wichita State program. Hey, John, you're great. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the time this morning. We'll be looking forward to your coverage. Enjoy the draft on Thursday night, all right?
Thanks, Moose.
You got it. John Rothstein, College Hoops Insider for CBSSports.com. Malusis with you here on this Tuesday morning. They heard it. I mean, three-player draft, as we've been saying, you know, it's Zion, Morant, and R.J. Barrett. A drop-off after that. Some quality players. But in terms of true, impactful, transformational talents, it's probably three, and then everybody else. So if you're in that top three, you're going to get one of them. If you're the Knicks, if you're the Grizzlies, if you are the New Orleans Pelicans, obviously, and New Orleans is going to be bringing in a brand new shiny star in Zion Williamson, as he's going to be fun to watch on the NBA level, just as he was this past year for the Duke Blue Devils. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. It's a Tuesday morning. Three big headlines you need to know. The three, we call it here on Taz and the Moose. That comes your way next, right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Who's picking who in the NBA draft? Our hosts analyze it and look for your opinions only on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, on this Tuesday morning, it is Taz and the Moose with you. We got the three coming your way here momentarily. Jay Berman, third and final time on my program today. Good morning, Jay.
How are you, Mark?
I'm doing well.
Great to hear. This report is sponsored by Wrangler Outdoor. Pants and shirts made with durable fabrics, moisture management, and UPF 30 protection. Wrangler Outdoor, clothing with outdoor credibility and everyday versatility. Try them on today. Mm. All right, we've been discussing the parade yesterday in Toronto. As we told you, 1.5 million fans, an estimated 1.5 million fans, packed downtown Toronto. Problem is, a couple of troublemakers. Four people were shot and wounded at the rally. Three people were arrested. Now, the scary part, in addition to the guns, was the fact that when people heard the shooting, there was a quote-unquote stampede from the City Hall Square. Now, luckily, and obviously worthy of mention, nobody was hurt in the quote-unquote stampede, but still a very scary sight. That's the bad. The good, Fred Van Vliet had this to say.
Look at these people, man. The ground is shaking. It's unbelievable. It's hard to put into words. You just got to look around and try to enjoy it as best you can with the fans and with the city of Toronto.
All right. Of course, Van Vliet had a key part in the series against the Warriors. He took six stitches and lost a tooth.
It's been a blur, man. Just trying to enjoy it. You know, it's been a heck of a ride just to get to this point. And now it's time for us to enjoy all the work that we put in.
All right. Well said. Again, 1.5 million people in downtown Toronto. All right, Turner.
A lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people. That's right. And again, I should have looked it up, but I didn't because I forgot. But very curious what the population of Toronto is.
Well, you're too busy going through the Mets struggles in the newsroom.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Breaking down that Indians bullpen. 2.93 million in the city of Toronto, according to the great Mike Biseglia, which means, I've done the math.
Half. Yes. Half the city was watching the parade.
Amazing, huh?
Crazy.
Anyways, the Pelicans have announced they picked up the team option on head coach Alvin Gentry's contract for the 2020-2021 season. All right, how about this? What's so funny? Is my fly open?
No. Just go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I'm interested.
No. I just love your delivery, dude. It's different. It's great. I just love it. It's funny.
Good. I'm a little insecure.
Don't be insecure. It's all positive.
Do I have breakfast on my face?
No. I love you, Jay. You know that.
All right.
Great.
All right. Josh McCown, a quarterback in many places, made it to 40. He's not dead, but he made it to 40 in the NFL. He's not quite leaving the NFL. He's not going to play anymore, but he is joining ESPN as an NFL analyst. We discussed it earlier, Moose.
Yes.
Not sure what to make of McCown's talents as an analyst in front of the camera. Once that red light goes on, sometimes things change.
That is true. Maybe your person. I mean, just ask Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan, as we discussed earlier,
right.
We picked
maybe,
on him.
Maybe, Jay, you could provide him some pointers.
You know me. Once that red light goes on.
Oh, you're on.
The magic happens.
Yes, that's exactly right.
All right. The Packers claim tight end Michael Roberts off of waivers from the Lions. Lots of hockey news. We discussed Erik Karlsson earlier, the defenseman, now the highest paid defenseman in the history of the NHL. The Sharks have given him an 8-year deal worth $11.5 million per season. Now, if you compare that to the hoops salaries and the baseball salaries and perhaps even the football salaries, not quite as much. But $11.5 million in the NHL, as you know, Moose, is a lot.
I only played 52 games this past year for San Jose, right? And the regular season was dealing with that groin issue, right?
Yeah. And he had an Achilles injury a few years back when he was still with Ottawa.
Correct.
Not that he is, he's quote-unquote, injury-prone, but he's not without his injuries either.
Right, but you're paying him. Nobody thought he was going to re-sign with San Jose either. So good job by the Sharks retaining the talent, but they're paying him for the talent. They believe that he can get back to old Erik Karlsson form.
Yeah.
And stay healthy. If he could do that, I mean, we know he's one of the great puck-moving defensemen, if not the best in the entire National Hockey League.
And now he's getting paid like it. He's the highest paid. Yeah, good for him. Absolutely. If you take it if you can get it. The Ducks have named Dallas Aikens their new head coach. He had been coaching the Ducks AHL team in San Diego. And we mentioned it before, but since Moose is a huge Rangers fan,
Jacob Trouba.
Quite a trade. They acquired Jacob Trouba, another young defenseman. He's 25. They get him from Winnipeg for Neil Pionk and a first-round pick.
That's a great trade.
Your thoughts?
Davidson, Gorton, great trade.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you hate the Rangers. You're an Islander fan. But you have to look at the talent the Rangers have coming in now and just be a little jealous, no?
That's not a playoff team we just looked at.
I understand what the Islanders did. They also got swept away. But you look at the young talent that the Rangers have now.
Who?
I mean, you look at they've got the
VC?
What's that?
VC?
No, stop, stop. They're going to draft Kako second overall, right?
Yeah.
They got the first-round pick from who was great in the KHL last year from Russia coming in. The netminder coming in as well. They've got
Nemestikov?
They traded for Fox from Carolina, young defenseman, one of the best college defensemen this past year for Harvard.
So they're redoing the blue line for sure.
They're redoing the blue line. Shea's a hell of a player.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be really good, then, and they're also going to sign a big time free agent in the free agency.
In all seriousness, who do you think that is? Panarin?
Yes,
you do, don't
I? I do.
I think he goes to one of those two teams, Rangers or the Islanders. And don't forget, the Devils have the top pick again, but Taylor Hall could bolt.
He could bolt.
So, you know, it's like you add and subtract at the same time.
Now, you're in your fandom. Is it, would you?
I know this question was coming. I knew it.
What's that? Islanders or Mets?
Right. I love the Islanders, Mets, and Giants all equal.
No. But who would you rather see? If I had to give you, not the Giants. You've seen the Giants win.
Yes, I have.
All right.
And I was 8 years old when the Mets won, so I vaguely remember.
All right, so Islanders or Mets? Islanders win the Stanley Cup, Mets win the World Series. Which one do you want to see first?
They're both pretty unlikely. I would say at this point in time, today, June 18th, the Islanders are closer to winning a title than the Mets
are. No, but what would be more mean? That's not the question. What would be more meaningful to Jay Berman, the sports fan?
All right, I'll answer it this way. If it's at the Coliseum, I'll take the Islanders. If it's at Barclays, I'll take the Mets.
Come on.
I knew that would annoy you.
That's a terrible answer. That's a terrible answer.
I get asked that question a lot. Like, I know you're a big Redskins fan, and you're a big Yankees fan, and you're a big Rangers fan.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you.
I'd right now, Rangers win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I'd like to see Lundqvist get a Stanley Cup.
It's funny that you brought up Lundqvist. We were discussing out in the newsroom. That's another Ranger that could be dealt at some point. Most likely at the deadline, if that's going to happen.
Well, if it's going to happen, depending on how the season's going. But he could get traded at the deadline. Or the Rangers may be looking and maybe taking one last run with him.
Yeah. Well, I think the window's closing.
Yeah, it's closing. I'm not denying that.
Yeah.
All right, you done?
You want me to give some baseball scores?
Sure.
It's totally up to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Angels beat the Blue Jays 10-5. Justin Upton missed all 72 games for the Angels this year. First pitch from Edwin Jackson, the immortal Edwin Jackson, home run.
Wow, look at that.
Ball is juiced, Moose.
It is, no doubt about it. The home run's overtaken baseball. It's ridiculous.
Mike Trout has 20, nowhere near the lead in the American League, which belongs to, I believe, Edwin Encarnacion, your new favorite Yankee.
He's not mine. I feel like the Yankees screwed over Frazier.
Yeah, well,
I mean, he did nothing wrong.
Trade
the
him,
same
though.
OPS as Mookie Betts, which I think is going to be a mistake. Unless you get Madison Bumgarner. If you trade Clint Frazier in a deal to go get Marcus Stroman, that does nothing for me. Go get Madison Bumgarner, I could see that, but that would be a rental. Maybe you don't have to give up Frazier for a rental and Bumgarner. No?
Let me ask you this. If Frazier was a media darling, do the Yankees make that demotion?
Probably not. What do you think?
Well, it's also a numbers game at some point.
I know it's a numbers game, but what – I mean, I understand it's a deal they can't turn down, but what's the point of Edwin Encarnacion? It's more a case of keeping him away from Tampa Bay. Insurance, if Stan goes down to yet another injury or Judge goes down, who's not shown himself to be able to stay healthy the past couple of years, if they go down to another injury, I get that. But, you know, Frazier's done nothing wrong here. I mean, and he's overcome the concussion. He's gotten, you know, questioned about him recovering from that concussion, by, you know, one of the voices of the Yankees, Michael Kay, who quickly then had to apologize and rescind it.
Yeah, he did.
Right? I mean, he had, you know, Susan Waldman on radio saying that he asked for Mickey Mantle's number, and then she had to rescind that. I mean, and everybody's getting on Clint Frazier like he did somebody wrong. I mean, and he, people that all of a sudden looked at him as a prospect that everyone gave up on, all he comes up here to this year is he hit, and they send him down back down to the minor leagues. I like Frazier as a player. I think it would be a mistake if they trade him. I really do. I think it would be a mistake.
Well, they're going to.
Thanks, Jay.
You know that.
I know. I do. Well, and that's fine. I'll call it before they even trade him. I think it's going to be a mistake.
All right, we'll get some quick ones in here. Rangers over the Indians 7-2. Braves blast the Mets 12-3. Red Sox very quietly are starting to heat up. They shut out the Twins 2-0. Red Sox now 6 games over .540 and .34. Cardinals continue to win. They beat the Marlins 5-0. Athletics 3-2 over the Orioles. Royals 6-4. They beat the Mariners. And the Giants beat the Dodgers 3-2, Moose.
There you go. Will you be locked into Royal Ascot day one today?
Is that a horse race?
Those are horse races. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday over in Great Britain.
Yes. Am I locked in? Oh, my God.
It starts off with the Queen Anne Stakes about an hour from now.
Who do you like in the Queen Anne Stakes?
Funny you mention that. I like a horse named Barney Roy, 5-1.
Barney Roy, 5-1.
Yeah. Owned by Godolphin.
Who is that?
It's Stables.
Oh.
Thank you, Jay.
You're welcome.
You got it. Here's the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Report turmoil with the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Rockets, we discussed a little bit earlier on the program. If you're just waking up here on this Tuesday morning, where you been? Good morning to you. Well, the score down in Houston, to the chagrin of Rocket fans as they see that championship window closing, is that their two stars, James Harden and Chris Paul, not exactly seeing eye to eye. The problem is, if you're Daryl Morey, where are you going to go here? Harden, MVP candidate this year, he's not going anywhere. And Chris Paul, with him being up there in age, and with the amount of money that's coming his way, I mean, I think his player option a couple years from now is like $44 million. I mean, Chris Paul's not going anywhere. So you've got nowhere else to turn. You got Mike D'Antoni, who they couldn't reach a contract with for an extension past this year, so he's going to be a lame duck coach. I know Morey was making the rounds yesterday saying they hope to reach a contract extension with Mike D'Antoni in short order, maybe during the course of the regular season. We'll see if that happens. Here's the problem you have with the Rockets, as Bisseglia and I were talking about during the course of one of the breaks, is that when it closes and that title window closes, it closes quick. It really does. Rockets have got no cap flexibility. There's not a guy on that team, aside from Harden, that anyone's really clamoring to give up massive assets for. You got nowhere else to turn. I mean, that's really it. You have to hope and pray that maybe, you know, Clint Capella gets better. But, I mean, what are you going to do if you're the Houston Rockets right now? I think they're going to look back to that hamstring injury by Chris Paul a couple postseasons ago where they had the Warriors down 3-2. And say, you know, that was the year. That was the year to get to the NBA Finals. That was the year to win a championship. Didn't happen. Saw a regression this year. And now you're seeing, hearing reports of discord between Paul and Harden. Unfortunately, that's a match made in salary cap heaven because neither one of those two players are going anywhere.
Number two.
Raptors parade, 4 injured, 3 arrested in shooting.
Yeah, unfortunately. 1.5 million up in Toronto. Beautiful day as it was absolutely jam-packed, the streets up in Toronto, as they celebrated the NBA championship and bringing the Larry O'Brien trophy for the first time up north to the great country of Canada. With that being said, I don't understand how anybody would wake up on a Monday morning getting ready to go to a championship parade and celebration. As you see Drake on one of those floats and Kawhi Leonard enjoying himself, holding up the MVP trophy and the Larry O'Brien trophy. Why exactly you'd ever bring any kind of weapon to a championship parade? I mean, I just don't. I don't know. I don't know how people are wired to think that and wake up and say, think that's a good idea. I really don't. Unfortunately, that did transpire. Thoughts and prayers to all those that did get shot. Obviously you hope that those that were arrested are brought to justice. But the Raptors yesterday, unfortunately, their championship parade, which was great, a little bit of a strange scenario because you feel like it's the end of the run with Kawhi Leonard's impending free agency. Also a blackout cloud over it after the reports and the shooting up there in Toronto.
Number three.
Todd Gurley's trainer, All-Pro, has an arthritic component to his knee.
Yeah, not exactly what you want to hear if you're a Ram fan on a Tuesday morning when you're looking at a star running back, one of the most talented running backs, if not the most talented in the National Football League, is that he's got an arthritic condition. That's not a positive. That's not a good thing, but that's exactly what Todd Gurley has. So now we have a little bit of a solution or a reason why Gurley was used the way that he was a year ago. And even though his trainer did come out and say that, his workload's not going to be impacted, I have a hard time believing that Todd Gurley, dealing with a condition and not an injury, but an arthritic condition, is going to be able to have the same workload that he has had in the past. And I think that's going to have to be something that's managed by Sean McVay here moving forward. So there are your three big headlines. McVay and the Rams, they got a star running back in Gurley that's dealing with an arthritic condition in his knee. The big championship parade and celebration yesterday up in Toronto, 1.5 million in attendance, marred by the shooting. And then Discord down in Houston around the Rockets with their two big stars in James Harden and Chris Paul. But for those two guys, they got to see the light and realize that neither one of them are going anywhere. And they've got to start to see eye to eye. We'll see if that does transpire. 855-212-4CBS. Those are your three big headlines here on this Tuesday morning. Mark Malus is flying solo. You're listening to Taz and the Moose. Straight ahead, the undercard. The stories we didn't get to here on this Tuesday morning. That comes your way next right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, it is Taz and the Moose with you. Mark Malus is flying solo. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Last segment of the big program. Let's get to it. Here we go, the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present the Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Michael.
All right, right now, if you had to choose, better shot to make the World Series, the Minnesota Twins or the red-hot Atlanta Braves?
That's a great question. Well, you look at the past, which one is a little bit more difficult? I'd say the Twins' path is a little bit more difficult. I mean, you got the teams in the American League East, highlighted by the Yankees, who are only going to get better here. Just added Encarnacion, you know, they're going to add a starter come July 31st. And then, or at some point in time, either by July, either that at July 31st or before. And then you also got the Stros in the American League. You look at the National League. You got the Braves. You know, Central really scary right now. I mean, not really. And then you look at the Los Angeles Dodgers out west. I mean, for them, it's being able to overcome Los Angeles and get past the Dodgers, which is difficult. I think the path for Minnesota is more difficult. Put the talent of the team, and Minnesota has been hitting home runs just like everybody else in Major League Baseball, and they've superseded a lot of people's expectations, and by far they've been the best team in that Central. They never beat the Yankees in the postseason. Never. I mean, I don't care. I mean, ask Molitor, ask Gardner. They never beat the Yankees in the postseason. I have a hard time envisioning seeing them getting through the world to the World Series through that American League, which is going to be a gauntlet. I think it's the Braves that have got a better shot, and they're red hot right now, knocking around your Mets, Biseglia. I think it's the Braves got a better shot to make it to the World Series than that the Minnesota Twins. All right, next.
Debating asking this question, and I'm not sending out the link.
Okay.
Because I don't want other people to see this. But Reynolds Wrap has an opportunity where you can apply on their website and you can travel the country for $5,000 a week, and they're sending you to the best barbecue joints in the country where your job is to eat ribs every week. That's your new job. $5,000 a week. Interested in applying?
I would, yeah. How long does the job last?
It doesn't say how long it lasts. That I don't know. I don't have the exact details.
How do they pick you for the job? Like, what do you need to do? What needs to be on your resume?
Well, if you go to there, again, I don't want people to compete with me on this, but you give a 100-word answer on why you're the best person for the job and submit a photo of yourself grilling your favorite recipe, and from there they'll make their decision.
Wow, that is. And you make $5,000 a week and you travel the country and all you do is eat ribs.
That's correct.
And they're sending you some of the great barbecue places in the country.
Yes.
That sounds like heaven.
It does.
I mean, honestly, that sounds like heaven on earth. That is as good as it gets right there. You're getting $5,000 a week. I mean, if you got a family, you don't want to be away from your family. I get that. But you get to travel and eat ribs. And you're going to great barbecue restaurants. It's not like they're, oh, here's some $5,000 a week. You need to cook ribs every week. They're taking you there.
They'll also give you $10,000 to start, because why the hell not?
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I got my plans for 9 o'clock.
That's one of the best offers ever. That is a great offer. And there's no timetable in terms of how long the job lasts.
That I can't find how long it lasts. I can tell you applications close Wednesday at 12 a.m. Central Time.
Wednesday, 12 a.m. Central Time. You just head up, reynoldsrap.com.
Yeah,
right?
You can figure out the rest. All right, there you find it.
All right. Next.
I can't believe they just did that. Wow.
Do you think Kawhi Leonard and his free agency last longer than a week, or they get this done right away?
I don't think it's going to be a long, drawn-out process. I think Kawhi Leonard, he hits free agency June 30th at 6 o'clock, and he's going to opt out. He's not going to opt into that last year of that deal. I think Leonard... by July 6th, I think we'll know where Kawhi Leonard's going to be playing basketball. I mean, the idea that these guys don't think about this at all, or like haven't thought about it, or guys haven't made up their mind. I mean, Kyrie Irving has not made up his mind and thought about, like, it's all of a sudden going to hit him on June 30th at 6 o'clock where I should sign. I mean, Kawhi Leonard's got a difficult choice to be made because... No, even though he thought they were a championship caliber team, I mean, maybe he thought that maybe they weren't going to win the title this year. But you would have to believe that Kawhi Leonard has some idea now and sitting back, relaxing. You know, it's easy for him. What do you want to do? You want to stay with a championship team? You want to leave them after delivering a title and head out west to play with the Los Angeles Clippers? What the hell you want to do? For Kawhi Leonard, it should be pretty easy, no? I think it would be an easy decision to kind of make. And you should have some idea of what you want to do, especially, I mean, his is a little bit more difficult. The other guys have been hanging around. They've been waiting for it. Jimmy Butler, you have a preferred destination. Maybe you can get wowed in one of these meetings. I mean, Knicks fans are rejoicing that Kawhi Leonard's going to give them a meeting. Ah, great. I would hope they'd give him a meeting. Is that the apple of his eye? I don't know if it is. All right, next.
All right.
Better for the Grizzlies to keep Mike Conley and let him be there for Ja Morant, or move Conley and let Morant be the starting point guard right away?
Yeah, I'd trade him. I would move him. And there's teams that are going to be interested in Mike Conley. If you're looking to, he's a good player. He's a good point guard. And, you know, the knock on him coming out of Ohio State was he couldn't shoot the ball from the outside. And, you know, doesn't have your prototypical size, but Mike Conley has developed into a hell of a player. He really has. I mean, he was dwarfed in that Ohio State team, literally and figuratively, by Greg Oden when they were teammates with the Buckeyes. And that was a nice 1-2 combination, but everyone always looked at Oden. And Mike Conley, even with his issues coming out of college at Ohio State, he's developed that outside shot. He's a hell of a player. But if I were Memphis, I want that to be Morant's team here moving forward. And Mike Conley wants to go someplace to win. I'd trade him. All right, we done? That's it?
No next.
There you go. See, Domino's is exploring self-delivery cars. How would that exactly work? Like, say if you have to, if that car has to make like 10 deliveries and it's got like 20 pies, what would refrain from Bellotti from going through the pizza and grabbing like 3 pies after he ordered 1. There has to be a human there, does it not? Can't just completely be self-driving, no, Pete?
Probably a code that you have to lock, unlock the pizzas with.
Ah, see, Pete's thinking. I'm not. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Have yourself a wonderful Tuesday. Till tomorrow, peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.